Please turn again to the scripture text in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And I greet you again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior. It is so good to be here. Are you all ready to receive the Word of God? The wonderful Word of truth, Word of life, and the Word of hope. Revelation chapter 3. The passage we have read is addressed to the church in Philadelphia. What does Philadelphia mean? It is the church of brotherly love. And I say it is a good name to consider to describe perhaps Calvary Pandan. Do you think it's a good name? Do you think we are fit, worthy to think ourselves a Philadelphian church? Do we really love one another? This is what I'm trying to drive at. I say we ought to. If we have not, we ought to. But I trust that we all are learning as we go on, dear friends. For we all own the one Heavenly Father, don't we? You say, of course. And if so, we are brothers and sisters. Is that true? Of course, you say. And if so, why should we not love one another? Philadelphia. This is the name of this church. So let us love one another. And the Word of God says, these things says he that is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David. Please follow, it is in verse 7. He that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Who is speaking to us? Answer, he that is holy, true, and holds the key of David. Who is he? My friends, can you hear, even as we read? It is the Lord Jesus himself. Holy and true is our Lord Jesus, the great God and Savior, who died for you, who rose for you, who is now preparing to come for you. And he has a message for you and me. And he introduces himself in case you don't know. Do you know? You say, I do. I say, congratulations. There is no greater name to know than the name of Jesus. There is no greater person to know than the person of Jesus. For he is the one who holds the key. Ah, what do you mean by he holds the key? He has all power in his hand. As he said to the disciples in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know him? Praise the Lord. Thank him. Say, Lord, I thank thee. You are risen from the dead. And now you hold the key to everything that matters on earth. You cannot do without him. Are you in close touch with him every day? In heaven, all the angels praise him all the time, unceasing. Why? Because he is the holy and true one, the God of all salvation, the Creator, Sovereign. They praise him. Do you praise him? Ah, my friends, this scripture is so wonderful. Let's read on and see what it says to us. He says to you and me, verse 8, I know your works. Wow, there is no concealing, you know, no hiding. He knows you and me through and through. He knows whether you are genuine or you are pretending. I say, let none here pretend. There's no use to pretend to serve the Lord. Let us all serve Him with clean hands, pure hearts, every day, not just on Sunday. Why? Verse 8, I know you. I know your works. I know how you came to church this morning. I know the amount of preparation you had in your heart. You took the care, the pains to prepare. I must come to serve my Lord today because this is the best day in the week. For this day looks forward to that day, the day when He will appear and begin the eternal Sabbath for me. Today is my Sabbath day. Did you see this day as that? He knows you. If you did not, I say, Lord, forgive. Help me every week to look forward to the Lord's day, because I know my Lord is waiting for me. Verse 8, look on please. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Wonderful. You know, when we came to Calvary out of Life Church, God gave us this verse. There is an open door. Go, enter in. Because why? I hold the key. I open the door. And if I open the door for you, no man can shut it. God is opening more doors. Are you ready to enter? Please pray for your leaders. Please. And we need more. This year is election year. This year we are going to adopt, and we have adopted this verse that you recited as our theme verse. That this theme will keep us steady, alert, focused, with a direction. Behold, I come quickly, says this wonderful God of ours. How wonderful to know that you worship one who is all-powerful, almighty, living, loving, coming. You know Him. Every day look to Him, every day pray to Him, every day wait on Him, every day expect Him. Maybe today. You know, it's good to sing that chorus again. Let's hear this chorus and we'll sing it. Maybe today, and take this home with you. Huh? Give us the first note. We all know it. We must sing it so that we all love it. Ready? Give us the first note. Maybe today. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come as I am alone. Maybe today. Sing it better. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come and I will go home. It may be today. Are you able to turn it one key higher? It is too low and too slow. Come, everybody, higher, faster. May today my Lord will come faster. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come and I will go home. It may be today. Slightly better. You know, we are going to a victory parade. And you don't go like this, like for the funeral march. No, it's not. Let's try again. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come and I will go home. It may be today. Thank you. We'll sing again later. I know thy works, says the Lord Jesus. I have set before thee an open door. Dear friends, as we think of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you tell yourself? What do you say to yourself? Should the Lord confront you and say, I'm coming? What is the first thought that comes to you? My friends, we must be serious. As Christians, we must be realistic. And we come here with just one objective, that one day we shall see our Savior face to face. How will it be on that day with you? So when you sing this, maybe today does it speak to you? What have I done with my life? 1 month of 2005 has passed already, you know, 30 days. How have you been doing? This is the whole point. And who knows? You know. God knows. I don't know. So I say, you please examine yourself. Your coming here today must be serious, must be profitable, must be something good to you that you came here and you go home and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now I've received God's word and blessing and a new outlook for the rest of this year. Do you? All right, let's be serious. Read on verse 8. I know thy works. I say, you know your works. Yes, you know how you are living your life. If you are still in sin, I say, stop, please. Search yourself. The Lord says, I know your works. Now let's read on. I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Praise God. You know, we do not need great strength. But when we have a little strength, a little faith in a great God and submit to Him and wait on Him, He can do great things through you and through me. Read on verse 8. Thou hast a little strength, but the great God can use you with the little strength to do great things. And you have kept my word. That is very important. This, by the way, is the subject for next week's extraordinary congregational meeting. To come together and to formulate a statement that will help us in the years ahead to stand the onslaught of the evil one to attack the Word of God. And this verse is so good. I pray that you are part of this verse. What does it say? Thou hast kept my word. If there is nothing else better you can do, this one thing you can do. One thing you can do, I can do. To keep the word of God. To protect it. To defend it. To love it. And then most important, to obey it. You cannot hold and keep the word of God without obeying it. So let's be very serious this morning. To know the Word of God is one thing. To keep it, to love it, to obey it. Then, finally, to propagate it. That's the purpose of missions. God has opened the door. Are you ready to enter with the Word of God and go? Where? Pontianak. Where? Maybe China. Where? Those of you who know Mandarin, polish up. Brush up your Mandarin and think, can God not use me in China? Read on, please. Thou hast not denied my name. Oh, my friends. Peter was so confident. He says, Lord, I'll never deny you. Prison, I go with you. Death, I'll die for you. Oh, dear friends, Peter taught us a lesson. I hope you have learned it. But let us never deny the name of the Lord Jesus. You say, I never. But do not keep that as a secret to yourself. Go and tell. We have the track packs ready. Very shortly, we are going to launch a tracting movement in this church. Unless and until we are proud to tell others and anxious and concerned to tell others there is a Savior called Jesus. Only Jesus. Come to believe Him. Believe in Him and be saved. That is not to deny the name of Jesus. What's the use of not, you say, I don't deny, but you never tell anyone about Jesus. So listen to this. The Lord says, I know you have a little strength. You have kept my word. I say, Amen. Thank God you kept the word. Number two, you have not denied my name. Now we come to the theme, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Does it strike a note in your heart, a responsive chord? When you think of Jesus coming, what does it conjure up in your mind? What does the graduating student at the end of the year who has done well, what does he look forward to? And let me ask you, there are so many students here. What is the great day you look forward to? Answer, graduation day, isn't it? Great day, I've done well. I'm going to receive a diploma, maybe it's a bachelor of something, doctorate of something. Great day. Is there a greater day than that? Some of you are thinking of getting married. Some are already preparing. I dare say your great day is coming. And every day you are thinking of that great day when I shall be the bride of so and so. Wonderful day. Are you looking forward to that day? Dear friends, when you hear this, behold, I come quickly, it must strike a note in your heart and cause your heart to leap up. Why? Because you are the chosen bride, and the one who's coming is your bridegroom. This is the whole theme and the whole meaning of verse 11. Behold, please read that. Jesus, your heavenly bridegroom, says, I come quickly. Question, are you ready? Who are you? The bride. My dear friends, this doctrine is mysterious, but it is true and it is wonderful. Why, you young lady, you're waiting for that wonderful day. I will have a bridegroom. Someone who will love me forever and ever, who will never leave me, who will even die for me if necessary. Of course, that is test of true love. And here is one who has died for us and given us hope beyond this earth, who has given us that hope out of sin and the destruction that ought to have been yours. And He is the one who is coming, who has prepared for you a place, a home, a wonderful abode. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is the promise of Psalm 23. And He is the one who is coming. Now you read verse 11. Are you excited? Jesus says to you, my children, behold, I'm coming. The Father is coming back. Wow. Are you excited, little children? But here is something better. The bridegroom. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. My dear friends, hold fast. What is it that you hold fast? What is it that you ought to hold fast to? I say, firstly, hold fast to your faith. When you came and trusted in the Lord, when you came up here to be baptized, to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it a great day? You promise. Many promises made here. Hold fast, dear friends. Never let anyone who comes here to be baptized afterwards grow cold and go away and do something else and never come back to serve the Lord. I said, don't. Hold fast, because that faith alone in Jesus Christ alone saves you and gives you a future. Hold fast to that faith. Hold fast to the hope you have. What hope? Without Jesus, no hope. With Christ, an endless hope. Without Christ, a hopeless end. What must you do? Hold fast. My Lord Jesus, I follow you. I serve you. I love you. Let me do something for you. Lord, do not let me go. Hold fast. He holds you. You hold him. Hold fast to the love you have. My dear friends, has he given you any love? Love one for another. Have you loved the members of this church? Are you more kindly disposed to others? I say, hold fast to the good that you have discovered through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you loving one another more? Hold fast to it. Don't let it go. Serve the Lord with zeal. I say a word to all who are serving in any capacity in this church. You are an usher. Don't belittle the work of an usher. An usher can spread good news, welcome, warmth, love to a stranger coming in, and he will go and tell everybody, when I came to Calvary Pandan, I was greeted by a wonderful usher who took me right to the correct place, who showed me a copy of the Bible and even the hymn that was being sung. You can be a great blessing. I say, hold fast, ushers, deacons, elders. What does it say here? Hold fast that which thou hast. You have been an elder for so many years. Hold fast. Never say, well, I'm too old or I'm no use. I say, everyone has a use for the Lord. Only thing is, hold fast. It says here, you have a little strength. Keep my word. Do not deny my name. And press on. Hold fast that which thou hast. What other places of service? All you fellowship members. This year we have again invited more to join the various fellowships. I say, those of you in the fellowships, in the contact groups, Bible study groups, hold fast, but don't stagnate. Hold fast is not stagnate, you know. Stagnate means you degenerate and you stick there like a stick in the mud and you don't move, don't improve. Hold fast means you value what the Lord has given to you. In your service, examine yourself. Lord, can I do better? Hold fast means I progress for the Lord. I want to do better for the Lord. The Lord knows you. Are you doing your best? You know yourself. Hold fast. Choir. Where is the choir? I appreciate the choir who spend every Sunday afternoon practicing. Right. Forgo your time. Others may be doing something else, but you are straining your voices here and getting your pitch right and getting your tunes right and then singing so that you may help us to sing better and praise the Lord. Choir, hold fast. Who else? I say there are so many other positions. Unseen, unsung, library, bookshop, tape library. What else? I don't know. I say, examine yourselves, dear friends. If you have nothing to do for the Lord, come and see one of us. Say, I like to do something. And then hold fast to what God has given to you. A word about next week's meeting. This is a preliminary. Next week we are going to consider, among other things, an amendment to the Constitution, so that it will be written into the Constitution why we use what we use. Why it is that in this year of grace, 2005, we want to write into our Constitution that we have one Bible only, King James Bible. Why not others? There are 100 other Bibles that read better, modern English, easier to understand, and so on and so forth. Why are we so old-fashioned? Why? Answer, verse 11. Listen. The Lord says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, the word of God here, unadulterated. Let me introduce to you this Bible. I was very challenged some 10 years ago or more. I was very burdened, is the word, yes, burdened. How do I know this is the word of God? Every word is true, no mistakes. I turned to the Constitution and it says, we believe in the word of God in the original text to be infallible, inerrant, inspired. I said, that's very good. Where is it? I consulted the experts and they say, oh, the original word of God is lost. Autographs are not available. I said, all right. Then, how do we get this Bible? Oh, from apographs, copies, out of copies translated into this. I said, then you say this book is infallible, inerrant, inspired, yes or no? Say yes, because it's in the Constitution. But where did it come from? Ah, next week we are going to write into the Constitution a statement that will help us. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. The days of our earnestly contending for the faith of the ones delivered unto the saints are not many more days, my dear friends. And until the Lord comes, he says, hold fast that which thou hast. What is the most valuable, most precious, most wonderful thing that he has given to us that we must hold fast? I mentioned just now the faith we have, the hope we have, the love we have, the service we have in the church, serving in various capacities. All those things are good and important. We must hold fast. But I say all those things come from this one book. Hold fast to this one Bible, the only Bible which cost men's blood to translate, the only Bible. Please understand this. And you can check with any authority. Yes, please. The only Bible that cost the blood of Tyndale, John Rogers, and John, I've forgotten his name, the one who started the Lollard movement. Three people died because of the translation, and many others suffered because of the translation of this Bible. The only Bible that stands for the Reformation, the only Bible. So I say, dear friends, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. There is a promise of reward. My dear friends, you say, I don't work for reward. I don't come to be a Christian for rewards. I say, that is true. Yes, we did not come to work for rewards. We come to serve the Lord because of gratitude. We come to serve Him because of a gospel debt we owe. For we all are debtors. We come here to serve the Lord because we have been saved and spared from eternal hell and destruction. So we come to serve, not for reward. But our God is a wonderful God. He is holy and just. And He says, I will reward you. Not that you ask for it, but I know your works. I will reward you. Let's read on how He will reward you and me. The verse is in the next verse. Verse 12. This is the crown mentioned in verse 11. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Wow, it is a very long verse. And I think we all get a little bit puzzled. How does God reward us as described here? Let's go through it. It's very interesting. Let's see. Him that overcometh, that means those of you who hold fast, who persevere, who say, Lord, I will follow you to the end and come to the end and still faithfully following him. You have overcome. Are you doing that? All right. To you who overcome, who will follow him faithfully, there is a reward promised. And I said, this is a great incentive. Read on. Jesus says, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. What is a pillar? A pillar is one that is part of the building that is very important. You cannot cut off a pillar without the building collapsing, right? The Lord regards us so precious, so important to him. He says, you will be a pillar in my house forever. I say, thank you, Lord. Amen. The Lord values you so much that you will be in the house of the Lord forever. And this is exactly what I said just now. Psalm 23 verse 6 says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a promise. You and I who serve the Lord faithfully, who suffer for him a little from time to time, who sacrifice and give to him your love gifts, God has a promise of a reward. And it says, hold fast, keep on serving, I will make you a pillar in my house. Of course, the figurative meaning is, you will be permanently welcome in my house forever and ever. Not that you literally become a pillar and just a column of concrete. No. You will be there as a precious and centerpiece of his great reward to you. For you are his heritage. We are the sheep of his pasture and the heritage of his building. And he loves you and me and puts us in the house of the Lord forever and ever as much as a pillar. Read on, please. You will go no more out. Amen. Meaning to say, I have found my everlasting abode. I tell you this. Moving house is one of the most tiresome and trying events in life. How many times have you moved house? It says when you come to the house of God in heaven in the end of your journey, you will go no more out of this house. No more house moving. Right? Oh, how wonderful. I hate moving house. When I moved out of Andrew Road, the way to move is to give away. So many lorry loads of furniture and other things. Accumulations of 35 years, give away. Then we moved to Dalvey Road after 7 years, move again. Wow, more give away. Now we are up in Anderson Road. And by the way, invitation. Those to my new apartment in Anderson Road. By groups, of course, by groups. I can't accommodate more than 30 to 40. It is a good place, but I thank God. This, my wife and I, promise each other, this will be the last one. No more house moving. No more house moving. And it is the highest of all our dwelling places. 18 floors. 18 floors. Very near to heaven. So I say, when we get to heaven, it says, you will move out no more. Where does it say? Read, please. You will be a pillar in the temple of my God, and you shall go no more out. Praise the Lord. No more house moving once we get to heaven. And the Lord says, all those worries and terrible events will not happen. Why? This is your reward. You overcome. You be faithful serving me. You be zealous in your Sunday school teacher, as a choir member, as a fellowship member, fellowship exco, session member, pastor, others, whoever you are, serve him faithfully. Overcome all the difficulties. Doesn't matter if you sacrifice a little. Serve the Lord and overcome, and then you will be as a pillar in the house of God. Never more to get out. Forever and ever in the everlasting state of bliss, of holiness, of happiness, unending, and never have to attend a funeral wake anymore. Yeah, wonderful. Read on. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, and I will write upon him my new name. Wow, three names written on you. You ask me, what is the meaning of all this? Do you know? We read again, and you think. All right, you ready? I will write upon him the name of my God. On you, on this pillar, will be the name of my God. Meaning to say, God the Father claims you. Right? When you have a bag that takes traveling, what do you do to the bag? You write your name, isn't it? Of course. If you don't, the airline hostess says, write your name. Because you own it. Now, here it says, I will write upon you the name of my God. He owns you. I say, amen. Praise the Lord. I am His. He writes His name on me. He loves me. He owns me. He'll never let anything come to me that is not good. This is the first meaning. The name of the city of my God, Jerusalem. It says, New Jerusalem. Again, when you travel, when I travel, I write my name plus Singapore at the end, my address. Why? Because this also is part of my destination, and my luggage belongs to myself in Singapore. All right. Here it says, on you will be written New Jerusalem. You are a citizen of New Jerusalem, acknowledged by the King of Jerusalem. How wonderful. How wonderful. This is the meaning of it. You are a permanent resident, citizen of heaven. You belong to the New Jerusalem. Finally, I will write upon him my new name. Wow. Jesus Christ, who died for you, owns you and writes his name. The blessed living Savior written on you. My new name. New name? When he first came, he's called Jesus. Now his name is the blessed risen Savior. The Redeemer. My Mediator. All written on you. Why? Because you are precious to him. I say, dear friends, 2005, we adopt this verse as our theme verse. 2005, may it be the year when we remember my Lord is coming. Maybe today. Maybe this year. May not be. Of course, may not be. Who knows? But I say we must remind ourselves. The Lord Himself says, maybe in the morning, maybe at noon, maybe at night, maybe any time. The whole point is, the Lord says, you occupy till I come. Do the things you ought to do. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown, that you not be dislodged. Don't let anyone entice you, seduce you back to the world. The world is nothing. The world is only a mirage. It will fizzle into nothing very soon. Why go into the world? Behold, he comes. I belong to him. The theme for this year is Revelation 3:11. And I know my Lord is coming, maybe coming any time. My part is be ready. Your part is be ready. Let us pray one for another and then think about this theme. sing about this theme and pray, waiting and watching unto the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank Thee for this wonderful word from heaven. O Lord, speak to our hearts, to everyone who has heard. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That we may know the Savior is on the way, even at the doors. Help us how we ought to prepare, how we should daily examine our own lives, how we must depart from evil, flee youthful lusts. O Lord our God, may Thy Holy Spirit Himself search our hearts and show us clearly our sins. And may the Holy Spirit enable us to openly before Thee confess every sin. O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit instill in us the fire of love for Thee, that we may love Thee with fervent love, that every day serving Jesus will be a wonderful day, and every day walking with Jesus will be better than the day before for the year 2005. Lord, bless every hearer, every worshipper, every man and woman, boy and girl. Keep us in the center of Thy will, holding fast to that which we have. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.